always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Peter King. It's a great day for kids in the Northeast who got sleds for the holidays. That big snowstorm is delivered as promised. New York Governor Kathy Hochul.
So far, the highest snowfall amounts were in the Catskills and the eastern Hudson Valley. 14 inches in our winter today, Ulster County.
WBZ-TV's Penny Commit is in Worcester, Massachusetts, where forecasters predict as much as 15 inches.
Some people that we spoke to out here, they were not taking any chances. They fully equipped their cars ahead of the winter storm.
I got my all seasons on, but I do have my light bar on just in case, you know, it gets really thick. I've also got the LED high beams just to kind of pierce through everything and get like a good clear vision.
But officials are recommending if you can just avoid hitting the roads altogether, that's probably going to be your best plan. And hey, this is perfect snowball weather. Maybe stay in with the kids. Go play in the front yard. Don't even bother trying to get on the road.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is back in the Middle East, and he's just spoken about his priorities.
In all of my meetings over the last 2 days, we've discussed ongoing efforts to better protect civilians in Gaza and to get more humanitarian assistance to them and to get the remaining hostages out and home with their loved ones.
Blinken says displaced Gazans should be allowed to return home. A CBS News survey finds Americans are becoming more concerned about the southern border crisis, but they're also unhappy with how some states are handling it. Pollster Fred Backus.
The practice of southern border states sending migrants to northern cities and states is facing increasing disapproval, particularly in the Northeast. In May, the country was evenly divided on this. Now most Americans disapprove, including nearly half of Republicans.
CBS News has been told President Biden spoke with Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin in a warm conversation last night. Others are not feeling the warmth after learning that he kept his hospitalization a secret for days last week. Former Vice President Mike Pence on CNN's State of the Union.
I think it was a dereliction of duty, and the Secretary and the administration, frankly, need to step forward and give the American people the facts.
Austin says he takes responsibility for the lack of transparency. The NTSB is investigating the Alaska Airlines 737 window blowout. Chair Jennifer Hammondy says the timing likely helped save lives.
Fortunately, they were not at cruise altitude of 35,000 feet. Think about what happens when you're in cruise. Everybody's up and walking. Folks don't have seatbelts on. They're going to restrooms. The flight attendants are providing service to passengers.
Those planes now are grounded until they pass structural inspections. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. 25 states are raising their minimum wage this year, but not Wisconsin, where baseline pay remains at $7.25 an hour. Mike Mohn spoke with an expert who says that leaves some workers behind.
Labor economist Laura Dresser has studied the issue for the Center on Wisconsin Strategy. It says even though employers are increasingly offering higher wages in a tight labor market, competitive pay isn't reaching everyone.
So the $7.25 really matters, but it's less binding today than it was in the past. But for the workers who really have those constraints on opportunity because of their concerns about immigration status, concerns about physical mobility, employers can really take advantage of that.
She says that makes it especially hard when there's more pressure from inflation. Her findings show that raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour by 2028 would boost pay for nearly 15% of Wisconsin workers. Skeptics of such moves argue about hurting businesses, but Dresser says research on California's higher level found no measurable impact on jobs. Dresser notes that supporting a higher minimum wage is not necessarily a political issue, with increases seen in both conservative and left-leaning states. She points out that in those states, it's not just the workers who are benefiting.
You can also see that in state economies where they've raised the minimum wage, that there's actually a payoff that employers are receiving, because while they've raised the wage, they're also reducing costs associated with turnover and open positions that they can't fill.
She says the higher wage helps the employee with things like transportation and childcare, making it easier for them to stay in their job. Dresser's research also notes that black and brown workers and women stand the most to gain when there's a minimum wage boost. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds for today. Light winds and highs in the upper 30s. Close to the 30-degree mark for lows overnight. We'll keep those mostly cloudy skies. Even more clouds on the way Monday. Highs in the afternoon in the upper 30s with a rain-snow mix possible Monday night into Tuesday. Right now, it's 31.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. On The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, what's up, man?
Brother, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Recording, man.
Morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin, my friend. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Earl. How are you?
All right. You know, it really is not bad, is it, man, outside?
No, it's kind of warm. It's not terribly
hey,
cold.
Man, it's January, man.
Yeah,
I mean, we can't lose focus on the fact that it's January, man. It's not sub-zero. There's not mounds of ice. I don't mean snow. I mean ice of the snow that we should have gotten in December that is frozen over that normally remains on the ground all the way up until April when it melts. I mean, we really are. Man, those of us who don't enjoy winter, you know, wonderland with skiing and ice skating and tobogganing and ice fishing. And how many of those things do you do?
Absolutely none.
And snowmobiling and absolutely none. Well, you know, that's not all the people in our listening audience and many people who need snow. And even I found out farmers need snow, man, you know. Clearly, that runoff, right, after things warm up is critically important for what happens the season, the upcoming season. So anyway, I want to begin by, this month I'm going to spend a lot of time introducing the audience to one of the greatest men who ever lived. He lived a very short life. His life ended at the age of 39 years. But a man who had, without question, was one of the biggest influencers of my life then, and as well as today. Now, there's a holiday named after this man in January. And so, you know, this man was so prominent. There aren't a whole lot of people who have a holiday named after them. You have to have really impacted some things in order for the United States government to name a holiday after you. And so that man is Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, who inspires me even to this day. And the fact that I was 14 years old, when Dr. King was assassinated, and the fact that I was old enough to have watched him because television was prominent at that time, and saw a man basically sacrifice his life knowing that he was going to be murdered. And so I want to capture and bring to you who he actually was, because the I Have a Dream thing is what he's been relegated to. And so everybody quotes, we want to judge, don't judge a person by the color of their skin, but judge them by the content of their character. Did he say that? Yes, he did. But that was one of the few things that he said. And you can't, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. could never be reduced to I Have a Dream, not the real man and the true essence of who he was. And so Calvin, through different sermons and of his, many of them that have never been heard over airways, you will get a glimpse of a man who actually walked in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Love your enemies. You know, love those who curse you. Love those who despitefully use you. He did all those things. He did all those things. And knew that his life was going to be ending. And when you hear some of the things that he had to say, you would know that this man was not an ordinary man. And the fact that he accepted, accepted this battle, knowing that his life was going to be taken away. I don't know how many of us, would have had the intestinal fortitude or the courage to know that your life was going to be taken at any moment, and that you continued to do what you were doing because of your belief in God, your belief that this was something that had to be done. So we're going to take that walk with Dr. Martin Luther King. And I guarantee you, once it's over, you will begin to see, man, I knew nothing. We knew nothing of who he was, the impact that he had, because still to this day, he's still impacting my life. The way he lived his. And part of who I am is because of having saw him and having lived through him and having been inspired by him even to this day. So I'm not going to relegate him to one day. Excuse me. I'm not going to relegate him to I Have a Dream. We're going to talk about the evolution of the man. You know, he died at 39. And if I thought about where my head was at 39 and now where it is at 69, man, I'm a completely different person at 69 than I was at 39. And so Dr. King never got to see that. He never got to have that evolution in his life. But he clearly had an evolution from 29 to 39. And so we don't want to talk about that evolution. Dr. King went from I Have a Dream to saying that my dream has become a nightmare. But the society won't talk about that Dr. King. They'll talk about the Dr. King who said, I have a dream. That one day little black boys and little black girls will sit down and little white girls will sit down and hold hands you know, and sing, you know, these great songs. And so, and then he realized that that was not to happen as he moved on. He was a man who was vilified. He's a man who was hated. You know, he didn't become loved until after he was assassinated. I know this to be factual because, again, I lived during those times. And so I guarantee you, you'll enjoy what we're going to be presenting to you because it's certainly going to make you think. And I would say that even today, what Dr. King said and did was as relevant today as it was, you know, 30 years ago, 35 years ago. It's just like it's, you know, if he was here today, it would be, he would be saying the exact same things that he said back then. Because things is, you know, the old axiom goes, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And that's kind of where we are. And so, I'm like I said, man, I'm honored to have this platform to be able to bring some of those speeches to you, speeches that you've never heard that will depict a man that was a special, very, very special human being. Very, very special human being. And so I think all of us need to get to know who he was. You know, I still listen to his speeches, not just because it's his holiday. Dr. King could care less about somebody, would have cared less about somebody, you know, naming a holiday after him. That's not who he was. He was a man on a mission. He was a man who understood humanity. He's a man of principle. He's a fearless man. Well, not so much fearless, because in some of the speeches he would tell you how terrified he was in knowing that the threats that continue to rage about the assassination of him and his family. In the midst of all those things, the average one of us would say, no, man, that's, hey, man, you're talking about killing me and my family. And I got to quit. I got to walk away from this. But he did not. And so we're going to spend some time dealing with that in the coming days and weeks. Got to take a hiatus. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
Is the Shaw, WAUK.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start, and it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org, a message from AARP and the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Somebody that just loves to learn, and another child grows up to be somebody you just love to burn. Mom loves the both of them, you see it's in the blood. Both kids are good and mom, blood's thicker than the mud. It's a family affair.
You can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. If you're just joining us, I was talking a little bit about, you know, introducing many of you in the audience to who Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King was. And so let's go to the phone lines. And Don Rosen from WRJN and Racine, good morning to you. How you doing, sir?
Hey, Earl, I'm doing very well. You know, when I lived in Atlanta, Georgia. I worked at a station down there. It wasn't that far from the Ebenezer Baptist Church where Dr. King used to preach. So that I was close to that.
Right.
And my dad, right after the assassination, I remember, I think in 1968, he brought home a record album. And it was the I Have a Dream speech on the record album. He got it and he said, we're going to listen to this tonight. And we sat down after dinner and he put it on the record player and we sat down and listened to the whole speech. And I think somewhere I might still have that album somewhere. But the reason I called was my wife and I do a lot of road trips. We went down to Memphis. And when people go to Memphis, you have to stop by the Lorraine Motel. And that's the site where Dr. King lost his life. You can walk up to the balcony and the famous photo of him laying there and everybody pointing to where the gunshot came from. You can stand on that spot. And I stood there. And it's a strange feeling to stand on that spot where history was changed. It changed right there. They have Dr. King's room. You can look through the window, and they recreated it the exact way it was when he lost his life. Everything is there on the nightstands, everything. Now, it's not a real motel anymore. It's more of a
museum.
The Civil Rights Museum. Yeah, it's Civil Rights Museum now. But you can tour there. And right across the street is the Civil Rights Museum. And it's another odd feeling. You can go up to the room where James O. Ray pointed his gun and assassinated Dr. King. To walk through that museum and go to the Lorraine Motel is a must for anybody going to Memphis. Yeah, you can go to Graceland and all that stuff, but you got to stop by the Lorraine Motel.
You know, Don, what I'm going to, you know, make available to listeners is the evening before his assassination, Dr. King's last speech, where he said, tonight I'm not fearing any man. Thine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. I'm not fearing anybody. He had received some horrible, horrible death threats that Dr. King, if you are not out of this town in the next couple of days, we're going to blow your brains out and your children's brains out. And the night before he was assassinated, and he was assassinated because he was leading, you know, marches because of garbage, black garbage men who were not being treated equitably in Memphis, Tennessee, and he was told not to go. But this is the kind of man he was, because of all the threats that, you know, had been talked about. But yet, the sheer power and majesty of his final speech before his assassination, I think, is more powerful than almost anything that you could ever hear, because he knew what the outcome was going to be, and yet he did it anyway.
And the sad part is, here we are 60-plus years later, and leaders in this country are still being threatened with assassination every day.
And so, and this is part of, you know, Don, why I think it's important that we do this, that I have an opportunity. I'm blessed and thankful for, you know, civic media that gives us platforms and gives us an opportunity to really, as I said before, introduce Dr. King to the listening audience. Because, you know, basically all people know about him is that I have a dream. And, you know, that's just a small snippet of who he was. And, you know, it's good to know. You've been around a while, so you know we lived during those times. But people who didn't live during those times don't know the real impact of what was going on at that point in time in this nation's history. And that's why history is so important. And when you hear people wanting to do away with history, you know, you just, man, you say, man, how can, you know, you can't ever allow that, right? Because there'll be somebody who'll say, hey, we need to do away with this time. And all of what it stood for would be erased. And then, you know, we'd never be able to realize what transpired during those times.
Well, it was a double whammy then, because Bobby Kennedy was assassinated too. And they were so close together, Bobby Kennedy and Dr. King, the assassinations the same year. I mean, America was saying, what is going on?
Well, America was in turmoil. And there were so many things going on. As I stated the other day, 1968, watershed year. And clearly, if you're looking at the history of this nation, 1968 almost stands almost out more so than in many of the other years. But, you know, we've got to do these things, and I think it's important that we'll be able to do it. But thank you very much, man. I really appreciate it. You and I got to get together. I got to make it up to Racine and kind of, you know, we want to do a show from the studio up there.
Well, first of all, you have to make it down to Racine.
Oh, down to Racine. I know. I know.
We'll get you a compass.
Well, you know, I don't know north, south, east, and west. Clearly, that's not my strength, right? My wife always tells me, if it wasn't for, what's the thing on the phone, man, that the map, I couldn't find my way back home. So that's not the issue. But I'll be in touch with you, man. And thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. 844-967-2789. We're going to talk about something on the other side. The Washington Post finds GOP voter fraud crackdown targets minorities and Democrats. Oh, really? Really? Don't touch that dial.
Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained.
This is The Shaw,
540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Worcester, Massachusetts is expected to get as much as 15 inches by the time the snow stops falling. Joe DeAngelo says he's already had enough.
The roads are pretty rough.
They're not even plowed, half of them. A lot of trucks stuck.
The NTSB is investigating the Alaska Airlines 737 window blowout. Chair Jennifer Homendy says not only was no one hurt.
We are very, very fortunate here that this didn't end up in something more tragic. No one was seated in 26A and B.
Boeing 737 MAX 9s grounded until they pass structural inspections. Speaking in Doha, Secretary of State Blinken says more humanitarian aid is a must in Gaza.
An immediate increase in aid is essential, as is improving deconfliction procedures to ensure its safe and secure delivery, including to northern Gaza.
And he says displaced civilians should be allowed to return home. CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
The Badgers win, not the Bucks. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Wisconsin Badgers paced themselves to an 88-72 win over Nebraska at the Kohl Center. Tyler Wall with 17 points for Wisconsin. They'll take on Ohio State on Wednesday. Another loss on the road for number 7th-ranked Marquette. They lost at Seton Hall, 78-75. The Golden Eagles host Butler Wednesday night. UWM with a win over Detroit Mercy, 84-61. NBA, the Bucks lose again, this time to the Houston Rockets, 112-101. Giannis Antetokounmpo with 48 points, but a bad night for Damian Lillard, who had just 18. Chris Middleton with 10. Milwaukee heading home now after this road trip. They host the Utah Jazz Monday. Giannis asks, how do you deal with losing three of your last four games?
And you think about it. Now when you go back home and you sleep and you wake up, you think about it. Now when you go back and work out, you think about it. When you're about to get freaky at night, you think about it.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds for today. Light winds and highs in the upper 30s. Close to the 30-degree mark for lows overnight. We'll keep those mostly cloudy skies. Even more clouds on the way Monday. Highs in the afternoon in the upper 30s with a rain-snow mix possible Monday night into Tuesday. Right now, it's 31.
It's fully leaded education talk.
Hard facts with a humorous twist.
Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund, and I'm talking with Brett Uhlberg, owner of Robert Hack Diamonds. Brett, I hear you pay cash for gold.
Not only gold, but silver, diamonds in any form like jewelry, teeth, coins, flatware.
Why should I sell you my gold?
Why not? Our store is the only store that recommends you shop around before you sell. This way you know you're getting the most money. But if Robert Hack Diamonds can't beat a competitor's offer on your scrap gold, we'll give you $20 just for letting us try.
Hey, what if I'm shy?
You? Well, at Robert Hack Diamonds, we sit with you at a table. We go through your items and make you an offer. You're not pressured, and we offer more on jewelry that we can resell.
Can I trade my gold for a new piece of jewelry?
Of course you can, and not only that, we can custom make a piece of jewelry using your gold and gems.
Hey, there you have it, folks. Sell your gold to my friends at Robert Hack Diamonds. Visit them on 76th and Layton in Greenfield. Robert Hack Diamonds, where they want your business.
Why choose Weichert Realtors? Because your community is our community. We're your neighbors, your students, your chefs, your soldiers, your builders, your actors, your musicians, and your radio personalities. We love this city as much as you do, and that's why we want to help you live your best life here. Because we are your realtors. Call us today and let us help you find your next home. 608-821-7002 or visit Weichert-Lakepoint.com. Weichert Realtors Lake Point, a home for all.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Your home of the Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I was born and raised down in Alabama on a farm way back up in the woods. I was so ragged that folks used to call me Patches. Papa used to tease me about it, 'cause deep down inside he was hurt 'cause he'd done all he could. My papa was a great old man. I can see him with a shovel in his hand. See, education he never had. He did wonders when the times got bad. The little money from the crops he raised barely pays the bills we made. Old life had kicked him down to the ground. When he tried to get up, life would kick him back down. One day, Papa called me to his dying bed. Put his hands on my shoulder, then in tears he said, Patches,
I'm depending on you, son, to pull the family through. My son, it's all left up to you.
Two days later, Papa passed away. I became a man that day. So I told Mama I was gonna quit school, but she said that was Daddy's strictest rule. So every morning before I went to school, I fed the chickens and I chopped wood too. Sometimes.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. Good morning to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM and 98.3 FM in Oshkosh. You know, I wanted to talk a little bit about what is really going on. And, you know, I've been trying to get to down to why there's such a, separation in this nation, and why people are willing, are so divided. And so, you know, these are part of the reasons why. This is a Washington Post article. Finds GOP voter fraud crackdown targets minorities and Democrats. The Washington Post analyzed data in Texas, Florida, Ohio, Virginia, Arkansas, and Georgia. Those units obtained only 47 convictions during a period in which tens of millions of voters were cast. Again, votes were cast. Again, Washington, Texas, Florida, Ohio, Virginia, Arkansas, and Georgia. 47 convictions in all those states when tens of millions of voters votes were cast. And only 47 convictions. 76% of defendants whose race or ethnicity could be identified were Black or Hispanic, while white people constituted 24% of those prosecuted by the units. Registered Democrats made up 58% of those charged whose party could be identified, while registered Republicans were 23%. The vast majority of convictions represent small bore cheating, or as some defendants argue, mistakes by individual voters, such as casting two ballots, falsifying a registration, or voting even if barred by a conviction. Now, I don't know. Like I said, I'm not very good at math, but I don't think when you look at 47 convictions out of tens of millions of votes, that that constitutes voter fraud. What has all this been about? All of this that has been made up, fabricated by a party to mislead people to believing that there's been something that was constituted and created to take away their votes. And the statistics bear out that that's just not true. It's never been true. And since it's never been true, why have we gone through all of this pain and continue to go through all of this pain as we approach, you know, the 2024 elections? Lies, deceit by people in highest places of government. Why? To point fingers at innocent people and make them criminals. Come on, man. This is America. This is not some puppet government. You might expect this, you know, or it used to be in third world nations. This was commonplace. And I remember as a young man, our nation pointing fingers at other nations and talking about, you know, just how horrid their elections were. But these are the facts. And as we enter into the 2024 elections, they've ramped up these lies even more. Now, what's at the root of it? What's really at the root of it? Well, you know, replacement theory. Come on. Replacement theory is what's at the root of it. In the United States and certain other Western countries whose populations are mostly white, a far-right conspiracy theory alleging in one of its versions that the left-leaning domestic or international elites on their own initiative or under the direction of Jewish co-conspirators are attempting to replace white citizens with non-white, i.e. black, Hispanic, Asian, or Arab immigrants. The immigrants' increased presence in white countries, as the theory goes, in combination with their higher birth rates as compared with those of whites, will enable new non-white majorities in the countries to take control of national, political, and society, and economic institutions, to delete or destroy their host countries, distinctive cultures and societies, and eventually to eliminate the host countries, the white population. Adherents of replacement theory have categorized these predicted changes as white genocide. Now, you know, this is true. And it's, you know, probably a difficult thing for people to talk about. But if at the root of it is the destruction of the democracy of our nation, is it worth it? Because you keep asking the question why Donald Trump's popularity continues to expand. What other reason or rationale could it be? Clearly we know what he espouses. And clearly we know at the root of most of these things is a conversation that we don't want to have. A conversation that, again, because of, you know, my age and, you know, and talking about Dr. King and back in those days and you know, some of the things that we saw and lived through, you kind of have some familiarity with some of, you know, what transpired then. And so I don't know how you begin to undo these fears that people have, that have been planted by people who really at the root of it are dishonest. Because this replacement theory is hogwash. You know, are minorities going to be the majority in America? Absolutely. It's inevitable. The demographers will tell you that. That is truthful. But does that mean that once minorities become the majority, which is inevitable in America, that the minorities are going to mistreat the white people of this nation? No. Where is there any documentation that says that's true? It's just not true. And so we can't move forward in the nation. And that's why the Dr. King piece that I'll be playing over, you know, this month will certainly point some things out, I hope, that will make people really take a look at whether or not it's worth the destruction of our nation. I absolutely don't think it is. Let's go to CJ. CJ, good morning.
Good morning, Earl. Well, I listened to you talk about replacement theory, and like I've told you before, your party has to keep race alive.
CJ, this is not about a party. This is about a theory that is real. Look it up. It doesn't say anything about Democrats. You have interjected Democrats. Okay? The entity that's pushing replacement theory, by the way, my friend, is not the Democratic Party. And it doesn't matter, because you say it, that's factual.
It is a fact. Don Lemon from CNN, you can look it up. You can see the video. This is something that the Democrat Party is espoused.
Thank you very much for the call. Okay, so I don't mind having a dialogue and a conversation, but it's got to be based on truth. Not some concocted idea of what truth is. Clearly, the people who are pushing against the voting rights of innocent people in this country are not Democrats. That's just a fact. And it doesn't matter whether people want to believe that or not. I just brought up those statistics that were in the Washington Post that corroborated that. We've got to be honest, and we got to be willing to face the realities of what is happening inside of our country. And so, you know, this is not directed to make people upset. Come on, man, we got to deal with the truth. This replacement theory belief is real. Replacement theory in the United States and certain other Western countries whose populations are mostly white, a far-right conspiracy theory alleging in one of the visions that the left-leaning Democratic or international elites on their own initiative, are at the root of this. The conception of non-white immigrants, and you get this, and you get this with what's happening with the border. Non-white immigrants, in terms of negative racial and ethnic stereotypes, have been commonplace in many white majority countries, and the notion that non-white immigrants and even long-established non-white communities threaten the freedom and well-being of whites has been a battle cry among white races. Now, I'm 69 years old, man. I live in America. I've lived in America all my life. You know, and so you can't tell me this is not real. I see it through my own prism every day. You know, and so can we have the courage to have the conversation? Yes, I think we have to have the courage to have the conversation. 844-967-2789. Our phone lines are open.
Give him strength to make another day. Though years have passed and all the kids are grown, they just took mama to a brand new home. Lord knows, people, I shed in tears, but my daddy's voice kept me through the years, saying, Patches, I'm depending on your son to pull the family through. My son, it's all.
The Shaw, WAUK.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. The Army National Guard responds to disasters such as wildfires and floods. They protect us with missile defense, cybersecurity, and civilian support teams for chemical, biological, and radiological hazards. Be there for your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
This is the Shaw, WAUK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
At 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. My co-host is Sandy Williams. You know, we were, you know, talking about, you know, the technology, and it's kind of, you know, broadened the conversation. And let's go to Mark from the SAC. Good morning to you, Mark. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Yeah, thanks so much. And I can remember reading various science fiction back, you know, back decades and decades ago, and all back when I was, you know, back when I was, you know, in probably sixth grade and seventh grade, you know, I was a big reader, big science fiction reader. And they addressed some of these issues about the isolation that if we, you know, that they envisioned, you know, society having the computer kind of capacity we have today, where people are all isolated, you know, living in their own, have their own little home, and they could just attend school on the computer, and the dangers that that could cause, and that, you know, we're facing some of that. We are looking at some of that today, and that, you know, I appreciate, you know, Gary said, well, the value, you want to teach the values. Well, let's remember, we live in a pluralistic society. We have certain core values we all should share, but this is a democracy, that there should be no religious tests in our government or in our society itself, and how people are recognized, and that it is just, you know, that, and is, you know, and for Cassandra, who had to homeschool one of her children because of the challenges that, because the educational system did not have the resources available to educate her child, that part of the problem there is a failure of some of our governments to fund our schools in the level necessary to handle kids that have special needs. I mean, that look at the fact that how many decades did it take for us to actually, you know, recognize the needs of autistic children, people in the autism spectrum. That, you know, that I had a cousin who was in that spectrum, and he's the same age I am. I mean, that so he's hit 65 this year. But he was, you know, became an independent, with limitations, successful adult, and the struggles his mother must have went through because there were not the resources available to her at that point in time.
You know, one thing. Let me just interrupt for a minute.
Thank you very much for the call, Mark.
One thing that comment though peaks in me is the notion that what's one of the problems for Cassandra and in the public school system not having the resources is that the public school system has been drained of students to some extent by the shift of students towards homeschooling, towards parochial schools, towards charter schools, towards a bunch of different sources that have caused the public schools to have to deal with more problems with less resources. And so, you know, it's a little bit like health insurance. If you mandate everyone into the health insurance, so even that the healthy and the unhealthy, health insurance gets cheaper and the whole thing works better. If all of the students were in the public school system, the public school system would be better. You know, there's more cream. The more milk you have, the more cream you have, and the more resources you have. And so we have saddled our public school system with increasing problems by dint of a number of the trends we have, trends towards charter schools, trends towards vouchering, and essentially moving people out of the public school track. And you know, our system, our education system in 1910 and 1920 was founded on public school for all, and public school was the norm, and it's increasingly less the norm.
All right, let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you guys as well. First off, we, the people, ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. And I would just like to say, and I think Earl's really touched on this, is this whole idea of humanity. And I think what's missing a lot in this world is just humanity and, dare I say, love, especially after we got a little bit of love now going with the Packers and you know, possibly going to be going to the playoffs, which is good news. I do want to say that during this holiday season, the one thing I will honestly, at least I felt, was that we didn't have any drama going on in the presidency. We didn't have any of this kind of stuff like we've had with the past occupant, where every day was about the past occupant. And I have to tell you, I was relieved and I felt good, just like I want to say goodbye to 2023 by saying, you know, goodbye to the previous occupant of the White House, Donald Trump. I want to say goodbye to the Aaron Rodgers for 2023.
Who?
And just want to move on and have, you know, a new fresh start, and just everyone realizing that we're all in this together, and do unto others as you'd like done unto you. And, you know, let's get back to some humanity like Earl talked about at the end of, you know, this last year. And I think if we do that, we're going to be in pretty good shape. And, you know, we really got to look at why it is that the billionaire class wants to pit us against each other so they can steal the money out the back door.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much as always. Good to know you're feeling better. Happy New Year to you. Got to take a short hiatus. When we come back, Sandy, you're going to educate us on the Iowa caucuses and why all of us need to know why that's the most important time.
Well, I got a lot of work to do in the next 3 minutes. So.
All right, we'll return.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I got serious about staying fit just a couple of years ago. Now 5Ks, yoga, and smart nutrition are all part of my weekly routine. Part of my eating right plan? Country Hearth Breads, natural breads with the whole grains and natural ingredients my body needs to perform at its best. Just a slice of toasted multigrain with peanut butter before a workout, and I'm ready to roll. Country Hearth is the easy choice because it's good for me and great tasting, too. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
Listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News.